This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube
and your favorite podcasts.
Are you ready? I'm saying, are you ready?
Till I die.
Right, Chris.
All right, good evening. Hello, how are you? Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along. This is LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. How the devil are you? Please bear with me because I've absolutely no idea what I'm doing because I got back from London late last night. It was very strange feeling when your daughter takes you around Soho. But hey-ho, you know, any port in a storm, I'm happy to try these things. Although I must admit, the best part of the weekend, for those of you that don't follow me on Facebook or Twitter, I went to see Mamma Mia, the musical, which was absolutely fantastic. A load of blonde women sat in front of me who were pissed and got told off and were swaying and doing everything. But it's a theatre. One doesn't do that anymore. But the highlight of my whole weekend, I must admit, was making my possible future son-in-law stand below a sign that said Tottenham Court Road. Absolutely loved it. That was my highlight. Maybe I need to get out more. I don't know. But look, let's do this because I have allegedly got some of this. Oops, and again, I knew this would happen. Here we go. We'll get there eventually. We did all this beforehand. First of all, let's welcome in Kate, who apparently is coming live from her toilet this evening. And she has got her tag on. Dave has got a restraining order out on her. Kate, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm not so bad, not so bad. Back home and completely unorganised. Talking about unorganised, Brad with his bottom whistle. Brad, how are you doing?
Brad's
on mute.
Oh, that's good, because I was laughing my head off when you said that. I nearly said something really offensive. I nearly whistled through my mouth as well. I had a bit of a wheeze in my throat when I whistled. So, yeah, I'm good, and so is my bottom. Thanks for asking. Although treacherous behaviour, Chris, one of us, and I'm not saying who, but it's definitely not me, right, has said that she has to be on the show just to keep me and you in check. We're perfect angels and good boys, and we'll never get up to mischief and say anything slanderous or rude or anything. I can't believe somebody's had cheek to post that on Twitter about us. Blasphemy, Chris, blasphemy.
Well, you've obviously seen something I haven't, because I've no idea what you're talking about.
Kate.
The same to you, because we're talking, well, I was going to talk about a certain Italian later in the show, but I'm going to actually start with this guy because the other Italian, Fabrizio Romano, has posted about 20 minutes ago, Leicester City and Inter decided today to close Stefano Sensi deal on a permanent transfer. It will be a permanent move, fixed fee around £500,000 plus 2 million add-ons in case of promotion to the Premier League. I mean, this has been on and off more times than my underwear, Kate. I mean, I want to believe Fabrizio because he's, to be honest with you, very rarely wrong. But this has been happening for about the past week, according to him.
Yeah, maybe even longer than that. I just wish we'd get it done, really, and over the line. And people get quite impatient when these things kind of surface. And you'd like to think when there's a good source that has leaked it, that it should be pretty much close to completion, but it doesn't ever seem to be the case with it. It just drags on and on and on, and I feel like it's been on the cards since the start of the month, and here we are, we're going to be going into the 30th of January tomorrow and it's still not done.
Yes. First of all, Brad, it was going to be a transfer, but we needed to sell somebody. Then, and this made sense actually, the 500,000 was supposed to be for a loan, and then 2 million, we'd have to buy him, a bit like Fatu. If we got promoted, we have to buy him. Obviously, since then, things have happened. You know, we've lost one, we may be losing another. If we're getting this guy for £500,000 for 6 months, that and a permanent deal, and then it's only 2 million if we go up, which obviously we're going to get a hell of a lot more than that, you know, if we go up into the Premier League. That sounds like the steal of the century.
Yeah, it does. Admittedly, the terms of his contract, his situation has changed more times than the lovely British weather we have over here. And, you know, it's been a loan, it's a transfer, it's a loan with a transfer fee, it's this, it's that. It looks like they've both managed to find a compromise that suits both, in the sense that Inter get some money for him and he goes, and Leicester get, you know, a very, very, very small transfer outgoing fee before they've even potentially kicked a ball on their return to the Premier League, which is a great thing to do as a club. I guess the reason there's no urgency around getting them in quickly and trying to do it like we did in the summer, because in the summer we were out you go, you don't want to be here, that's fine, we've got to get rid of you, in you come. And it seemed to all happen in the first like 2-3 weeks of the window, didn't it, our transfer actions in the summer. Whereas this year, given Leicester's position, you're a little bit more cautious and very, very, very particular on what area, if any, you wish to acquire. And it has to be a dramatic standing. Now, whether this is in preparation for a couple of midfielders that won't be with us next season, if it is, it's a great coup to get in early doors. I'm hoping this is the last we hear from Fabrizio in terms of him saying the contract is now a loan and da da, and the next thing we hear from him is done deal. Because I'm getting a little bit tired for $2.5 million to potentially be spent on a midfielder that we've been talking to for about, well, it feels like 6 months, really.
Mm. But Kate, I mean, do you understand why it's taking so long because of the FFP?
If that's the reason, I'm not totally convinced sometimes, because it's not a huge amount of money. And if we were waiting for a space in the squad, then either someone a little while ago now. But yeah, I can understand why we would tread carefully with FFP. But you just like to think that you have your budget in mind in terms of fee and wages. And as long as there's space in the squad to accommodate the player, I don't really understand why there'd be a hold up. Unless we were just miles apart in valuations to begin with, which I don't know if that's the case either, if it's such a small fee. It depends on, maybe it was personal terms, but it seemed like personal terms were agreed a little while ago now.
Mm.
So I don't know, really. We're always a bit cloak and dagger, aren't we?
We are. And I'm guessing, I mean, I didn't expect a huge window after what had happened in the summer, because we literally, everybody was sort of saying, well, look, no, where's this £100 million gone? That, you know, we got for the players we sold. Well, we've got a huge bank loan. I mean, everybody seems to think that we are solvent and we are, you know, in this fantastic position. But, Brad, we've got a huge... Well, we've got more than one loan to this Australian bank. I mean, we tend to forget that.
Yeah, we do. And if there was ever a transfer in terms of fee and potential wages, I mean, he's an Inter Milan player, so you can't imagine he's on like 20 grand a week or something like that. I can imagine he's 28, he's experienced, so he's probably on a bit of a wage compared to some of them here. The fact that we've kind of had to nitpick and negotiate things tells you that we're still very cautious, that, you know, we need to make sure we're not overspending. I mean, you're talking a 2.5 million transfer, and we're making sure. Okay, it's now become apparent that it's a permanent deal and not a loan deal agreement, but it feels like that Leicester have stretched the budget and gone, look, actually, because of maybe his wage demands or whatever, or maybe the expenditures we've had, we can only afford $500,000 now, but we can pay you from our promotion boost we'll get from getting promoted. If we get promoted, we can pay you the $2 million that you're wanting for him. So that's probably what's done that. But people have, you're right, Chris, people forget, yeah, we got $100 million. We also brought in players for what, just under half of that amount. I mean, everybody's like, we got Maddison for $40 million. Well, realistically, we got him for $30 million because we got Harry Winks for 10. So that was already that gone. And then you've got to remember, it's not just the loans, Chris, they've got to run the club. Whatever was left from that money after he was told, that's it, you can't spend any more on transfers, the owners would have put straight back into the club. It's what they do. It's what any businessman does. They go, right, we've got, even if it's $2 million they had left over, it would have gone into the club expenditures. And you've got to remember that that's not just supporting the shop. That's paying their staff. That's paying the shop staff. That's paying the housekeeping staff. That's paying the kiosk staff, the people that serve you your food. It goes all back into the club and then goes all through the club, the training ground, etc. So it's not something that's a forefront of fans' minds, and I get that, but you have to remember, at the end of the day, whilst they are a football club, they are still a business. There's a reason football clubs go out of business. Because of that exact reason, they can't afford to keep running and they get in severe debt. And we've just got to play it smart. And unlike Man City, certain clubs who can break as many FFP rules as they like and not get sanctioned for about 500 years, it feels like, we will. We've seen it with Everton. They do one instant ban, sort of, like points deduction. So we have to be careful and we have to remember, as much as we love this football club, especially now in today's footballing world, it is more of a business than it ever will be a football club in the eyes of those that run it.
Yeah. I mean, Kate, I mean, sorry, just, Scott said here, I think we probably have just covered it. If someone can make sense to me, sends this deal, I'm meant to be a loan with option to buy, but he's out of contract in June. I think it's just the fact that they maybe, I think, do want rid of him because he's only started three games this season. But like we've just said, you know, we can't afford the 2 million now. And this is what makes me laugh when I'm talking, you know, when people are going like, well, you got all this money, you've got all these parachute payments, you know, you fart and, you know, 500,000 comes out your arse. Yeah, well, if that's the case, why can't we afford £2 million for one player? Because, you know, it is like Brad just said, the whole package. But that is really, that's really Inter Milan helping us out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. They've basically took a they've took a Klarna payment from us, haven't they? Where we can spread the money over a period of time, and that seems to be the new way of doing payments within football. Like, we may have got 40 million for Maddison and 35 for Barnes, but we didn't really, did we? We didn't get that money straight away. That would come over a couple of seasons. Same with the Fofana money, which will still be trickling in. But so it. That's just the way of football. You don't get exactly what they say you get. You don't get it up front. Nobody could afford to shed out that kind of money up front each time as a lump sum. You'd pay it on security over the next few years, and you'd secure it against something, usually TV revenue and future earnings.
Yes. And you can't get £35 million in and pay out £35 million, because, like Brad said, you have got, you know, ongoing costs, you know, who pays the players' wages, you know, where, you know, who pays the interest on the loans we've got. We have got to take these, thank you, Rennie, we have got to take these things into account. Brad, he's a midfielder, central midfielder. He's, well, he's got three positions here, according to TM. He's a defensive midfielder in his main position, but he can also play attacking or defensive. And I think I've read somewhere that Enzo sees him, and I suppose that fits in with that, as a box-to-box.
Yeah, he's quite versatile. Again, it fits the mantra, doesn't it? It fits the mantra of not just Leicester, but modern football. I know we're quite adverse to seeing players that you want to be versatile. We've seen it this season. Wilfred Ndidi, most notably, has played in a few positions in that middle. Choudhury's played in a few positions. You know, there's only a few mainstays that haven't really moved from their positions. That's probably Winks and Dewsbury Hall, for good reason. But look, it sounds like a deal, and again, I feel like this is a deal that that Enzo's got one eye on the future. And I know we don't want to get carried away and think we've already done it, because it's getting closer again, and we've still got to concentrate and get through this half of the season. But if Leicester are to make an immediate return to the Premier League, I know we'll do a show on it, obviously, Chris, where we'll talk about those players out of contract, what we're going to do, are they going to get renewed, are we going to let them go for free? It sounds like he's already trying to fill that void already. And I think, and I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, so I'm not reading your script, I promise, Chris, when I say this, I feel like that's what's maybe sparked. Oh, span out then. We all span out then. We did a Crash Bandicoot. We all just died for a second on screen. Yeah, I don't know if that's what's maybe enticed Brighton and teams like that to have a sniff around our one and only KDH.
Yes. You say we will come on to that in a second. This isn't a normal Leicester signing, though, is it, Kate? I mean, he's 28, is it, years old? 28 years old. He has got a, just looking at his record, he's got a one Italian championship, one Italian Cup winner. He's got two Italian Super Cup medals. He's played at the Italian under-17 squad, under-20. He didn't play the under-21s for some reason, and he jumped straight to the Italian main team, where he's played 9 times and got 3 goals. We are buying experience, and I guess you can't always go for the youngsters that may or may not mature.
No, not at all. I mean, this is a guy that should be in the prime of his career, really. It's a great age to buy somebody. You'd like to think that his nous and just footballing brain really is developed enough for us. He's obviously not had any Premier League or English League experience, which he'll need to learn and adjust to. We've seen many foreign players have to do that. There's still quite a bit of work for him to do, but you'd like to think the essence of him is there. I think Enzo will be drawn to the fact that he's Italian, and he looks like he's had a good pedigree with, you know, making a senior appearance for the Italy team is nothing to be sniffed at all, let alone scoring as well. So he's definitely got a good pedigree. His injuries I'm slightly concerned about. He seems to have had quite a few over the past couple of years, but Leicester do their homework with medicals. Like we picked something up from Tom Cannon, which Everton hadn't, with his stress fracture. So you've just got to trust the process, really. He will be excited. It's a great league to be in. It's a great spotlight to put on yourself. And it will just give a bit of competition to the rest of that position, really.
Yes, no, definitely will. And again, as Scott's saying here, Brad, so why do we not use a similar tactic to offload Pat, etc.? At the end of the day, that's not going to happen unless teams are coming in for them.
No, it's not. I mean, first of all, we still need Dennis Pratt, because when he is actually able, fit and able to get on the pitch and his legs don't, you know, give away like they're made out of sticky tape and blue tack, he's proved a valuable player for us. We've all got a soft spot for Dennis Pratt, because he's the sort of player that we felt had the potential to get into that midfield at some point during his Leicester career and make it his own. That's obviously not been the case. But to answer Scott's main reason why we can't do that is that you've already covered it, Chris. Reed Sensei's CV, it's full of titles, cups, playing in the top league, playing for a top side. I know Pratt has played occasionally for Belgium, but making the Italian squad, you would argue, is probably a bit harder than it is to get an Italy squad. He's like Kate said, in the prime of his career, whereas Dennis Pratt's fleeted. He's gone out. We've sent him out on loan with options to buy, apparently, from Torino, Scott, and it just hasn't worked. He hasn't got the calibre to hold. You know, if that was the case, then I'm sure Leicester would have done a deal with him. But like you said, Chris, nobody's interested, and he's not featured enough to go on anybody's radar, I don't feel. I do feel like this will be, sadly, I feel like at the end of the season, this will be another Daniel Amate. See, Dave's not here. I have to mention him for him. That's for you, Dave. There you are. You know, where he'll go, and then some Turkish club or someone like that will just pick him up because they need a player to fill that gap in their squad or add to their squad depth. It's just sad to see, because I do like Pratt, but he's just not holding the calibre for people to go, oh, yes, we must sign Dennis Pratt. You know what I mean? It's not possible. No, and it goes for a lot of these players out of contract.
I'm excited by him, and I think it is probably what we need, Kate. We have got a lot of young players in there in the squad, so it does add that experience and that wise head, if you like, in there. He's been around, like he says, playing European football. I just think if we go up, and all right, no, we've got to accept we're not there yet, but you know, we're dipping our toe in the lake of the Premier League, aren't we? I think, let's face it, we're probably up to the knee, if anything. We are thinking, I think, of the future. So we've got two players here, Senzi and Fatua, that if we go up, we've got to buy. All right, we've not signed him yet, and we don't know if he's going to be as good as his CV is. Like, you know, I said earlier, you know, we've had the odd mishap, Kapuska and what like, haven't we? But, you know, it is a good signing overall.
Yeah, I do as well. And of a very similar age is our Mr. Winks. And look at the wise, calm head that he's brought to the team, and he's just effortless. And in any situation where I'm panicking, he just creates a calm and tidies up everybody else's mess, really. So if we can get a similar player to that, of that kind of age, calibre, just a natural footballer, really, it would be great to see, absolutely great to see. And we do have good form at picking diamonds in the rough. It's a good asking price as well. It's not a break the bank kind of fee where it could all go wrong if it doesn't work out, like a Slimani, for example. It's not that kind of money. I am excited, and we seem to have got our man. He seems to have been on the radar for a long time, so I'm glad we've got our man.
I'll stick with you, because you've just mentioned then, Kate, Mr. Winks, and we all know, look, how good he is, but he has sort of, he's one of those players that he's like the Duracell bunny, isn't he? He is all over the pitch, and you know, if he's going to be allowed to do that, and quite right, because he's good at it, you know, he's forward right one moment, defensive left the next. You know, you've got this, you know, experienced defender there that's a defensive midfielder that's going to hold his position. And let's face it, the Italians are not bad at defending, are they?
Annoyingly so, yeah.
Exactly.
Over the years. Yeah, it could be a really exciting combination. I mean, yeah, it could be brilliant for us. Winks has just been a natural godsend. It was where we thought we might be a bit lost in that position. We weren't sure what Wilf was going to do, but Wilf has now moved away from that area. And yeah, if we could get somebody on par with that, that's the yin and the yang to that position, then it's going to be really exciting to watch for us.
Yes, it is. And Brian, I mean, Scott's come back again, and I think we've answered it here, Scott. For argument's sake, if we had interest in the summer free, Nacho is another out of contract. I'd not let him out with an option to buy. I'm sure if we've got the interest and it suits the club to do so, they will do it. But Scott, like we've said, if nobody's coming in for him, and I'm guessing nobody has, because all we ever heard is rumours, and they've been quiet for the last 2-3 weeks. But if the interest isn't there, you're not going to get, well, you are, you might do, but I would doubt that Leicester would be, you know, having somebody on the telephone call centre style, ringing up going like, hey, we've got a player, do you want him? Hey, we've got a player, do you want him? You've got to have that interest, Brad, haven't you?
Yeah, you do, and there's been zero interest in him over January. And at the end of the day, again, it's kind of, yeah, it did go very quiet. I know he's on AFCON duty, but you can still get something done there that kind of means when he goes back, you know, agents don't just disappear because they're on an international tournament. They'll be right there ringing him up if there's any interest, and it's just completely died out. And again, why would Leicester weaken themselves in this position? You've got to remember, right, Vardy, yes, he scored in the cup game, but I think his goals have been cup game in Watford and maybe someone else. I think he's still only got 4 league goals. You're looking at Cannon, Daka and Iheanacho. What we're seeing right now, we're in a bit of a state that if Vardy or Cannon was to get injured for the next week or two, we'd have one striker and be praying that he doesn't get an injury himself, because we'd have to, I don't know, put Madsen Mantle up front and start shaking goal. I don't know what he'd do. I'd love to see what Enzo did if he had no goalkeepers, no strikers, sorry. So yeah, it's just one of them. We're in a part of the season, Scott, where you just cannot afford to just get rid for the sake of getting rid, because we're going to need him. We are going to need him, despite his disappointing first half of the season. He's still going to play a part, you'd imagine, when he's returning in getting us back promoted.
Let me ask you this, Brad, as we're talking strikers. 4 strikers we've got, put them in order that we should, have them on the, you know, who would be your first choice? Who would be on the subs bench? Who would be the next one that would come on the subs bench if he wasn't available? And who would be the final one?
Oof, good question. But I actually do have an answer on that day.
For the same in the second, Kate. So put your thinking cap on.
All right.
Go on, now
then, do I give you my list straight off, or do I do a Dave and talk about something else for 20 minutes that's irrelevant to it? Do I talk about...
to the list straight off.
Okay, we don't miss Dave that much then. First of all, for me, the future is Tom Cannon. He's the one that's got the longest time here, contract-wise. He's had to be patient, and he looks really good. You know, even in the games that he's not scored, I think he's created. He got an assist in the cup. He looks good. He looks like a mix of me. I don't know if it's maybe his looks that makes me think this, but he gives off the same vibe as Vardy and Nugent combined. He can get the ball. He can hold defenders off like Nugent could and make a pass, but he can also break that line of defence and get in their back line just like Vardy. So for me, number one, Tom Cannon. Get him on that pitch. Get him started. Number two is difficult, because as much as I love Iheanacho, spoiler alert, breaking news, I am an Iheanacho fan, in case you didn't know. It's not like Chris has a separate button for Iheanacho. On terms of form, it's Daka. Then I can almost hear the screams and anguish from a former member, Boris. Third would be Iheanacho, and fourth would be Vardy for me. I think I don't see it being that way, but for me personally,
this is it. Yeah. Scott, we're gonna end with on this bit now. You're saying it doesn't make sense to you, but basically, if we cannot get rid of a player in any form, if there is no interest at all, absolutely, you know, you're saying let's do this, let's do that, but who to? Who to? That's what I don't get. So we're going to end that point now. Although we're just going round in circles, hitting our head against the brick wall. Kate, your four.
Number one is the same as Brad, so I agree with that in canon. I think he is our future. He's looking bright. He's had a good start. He's only 21. He's got lots of time to learn.
Future's bright. Up. The future's canon.
Yeah, exactly. Number two for me at the moment would be Vardy. I just think that he's got the quality, even in the game on Saturday, which we'll come to talk about, he showed what quality he still has, and he shows what he can do if he actually gets some service. And then three for me would be Daka, and four would be Nacho. Nacho stood up there for me as one of the most frustrating players we have in the squad to watch, and he messes things up quite a lot during play with his link-up play, concentration problems. Yes, that's how I would rank them. Going on to Brad's point about if a striker gets injured at the minute, I think Daka's already back.
Yes. Daka just wasn't available. Well, he could have been available.
He said he wasn't available for Saturday. That's Saturday, but he's back.
Yeah, he would have been available for Saturday had we been in deep poo-poo. Because let's be honest with you, he's coming from the Ivory Coast. It wasn't like he was coming from the other side of the world, and it's pretty much the same time zone as us. So I think it's just a case of, like, you know, when you come back off holiday, you just want to get home and have a cup of tea, don't you? I suppose in their case is a glass of champagne. See, for me, I agree. I have been so impressed with Cannon. As you know, I was a case of, who is this Cannon? You know, we've signed a player who was injured. We have, you know, didn't he got 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there? But like Daka, he took his chance when he came on. Vardy, for me, yes, he got the goal against Birmingham, and we will come on to that later. But maybe he only scores when all Brighton's on the pitch. I don't know. But is at the end of the day, you do not put a player striker for what he offers you off the ball. You play a striker for the fact that he can score goals. That is their duty. You know, we've got, you know, nine other players on the pitch that will do things off the ball. You want your striker, whether it's a lucky fart in off his arse or a lovely winks 50-yarder or whatever, you want strikers that are going to score goals. Vardy hasn't done that for us this season. And if he can't do it against at this level, is he going to be able to do it in the Premier League? I don't think so. And I think a lot of it with Vardy for me is the fact that it's Vardy. You know, we have to let him go at some point. You know, how everybody went mad when we got rid of Schmeichel, but to forget how bad he was and the fact that he never came out for crosses and they were calling him like blue when he was actually playing for us. So for me, just on form, it's got to be Daka. And then I've got third equal, to be honest with you, with Vardy and Iheanacho, because, you know, one's got, I think, five goals now, one's got six. You know, I get what you're saying about Iheanacho. I just think, you know, the king is dead. Long live the king, as they say. And I think for me, that I can't split them two up. I would say either of them for the third choice. Vardy's still got that thing, I think, with defences, like, oh shit, it's Vardy coming on if he does come on. But if Daka carries on where he left off before he went away, you've got to say, whether they go in off his knee or whatever, as long as he's in that position to do that, that's all I'm worried about. So, yeah, that's it. So we're all kind of different, aren't we, there? Well, I'm different. I must admit, I'm different in a lot of ways, but let's not go on to that. So we've covered strikers there. We covered Senzi. This show's completely turned on its head because of that breaking news, which has yet to be confirmed. But the other news is, of course, a certain player who is creating interest from a certain club that's down the road from me here along the south coast and is very close to Dave, if I'm honest with you. I have asked him to go and put a bomb under the Amex Stadium, but God, if there is one now, everybody will blame me, won't they? What do they know about? Kate, let's stick with you first. I know you don't want him to go, do you? And I actually, if anybody's not doing anything tomorrow, by the way, do check this out. Every Tuesday on BBC Kate.co.uk/, and I can't see, she's not doing it, but /LCFC. Thank you, Kate. On the BBC site tomorrow. And don't blame me if it is out of date. We've had to put them in now, and they wanted it to be transfer window heavy. So I do actually talk about Dewsbury, and I say he is our most sellable asset if we need to sell somebody. He's the one that's going to bring in the most money. He's the one that is going to attract interest. Whether it could be a case of they sign him, but then they loan him back to us for the rest of the season, like we did with Alan Smith. But whatever money we get for selling him, let's face it, he's in our top three players this season, if not the top player. Money we get for selling him would negate, I think, if we sell him, it could affect us going up.
Yeah, I just don't think it's anywhere near the price that he's worth to us. It's no way near that money. And I think that's how we would look at it. It's the seller's market. And if you've not met the selling price, it doesn't matter what people think about whether he's a championship player at the moment, market value or whatever. I've said this a bit on Twitter this weekend, is what he's worth to us. And if selling him for 30 million sacrifices a gain of 100 million into the Premier League next year, why would you do it? It's false maths. He's such a key player. He's actually in the hot spot of the season. The last few games, he has been sensational. I think he's overtook Winks for me at the moment in his current form of player of the season. So I can't see it happening. I can understand Brighton perhaps wanting to unsettle him, to poke a bit, to see what Leicester need to do in terms of finances. But I just cannot see, unless we are so desperate to sell, which I don't get the impression that we are, he's not. I just don't know why he'd go and not finish the project.
Mm. It is all over social media. It is all over Sky. And hi, Anthony, as Anthony says there. But I agree with Scott here. If we sell KDH in this window, I think it'll be devastating. We could be down to the playoffs. Well, we both said that, haven't we, Kate? You know, it's false economy. We can't.
Oh, you're frozen.
Can't sell him, can we, Brad?
No, we can't. It just doesn't make sense all round. It doesn't make. I mean, first of all, it would he would get the Joe Matic treatment if you remember him. You know, for what he said at the start of the season, I want to be Leicester's best player and the Championship's best player. I want to do this. I want to get Leicester back to where they belong. We belong in the Premiership. He'd tarnish it all if he went now. Even with Sensé coming in, if he does eventually come in, which it sounds like it eventually is going to happen, it's finally going to come over the line, it doesn't make sense. Because even Kate said, let's say we sold him for 30 million. Do you reckon Enzo's going to get 30 million as a transfer to go out and replace him? No. They're going to probably put 20 million of that back in the club and say, well, you've got 10 million at best to play with to go and replace him. You can't replace him. And Premier League time.
There's no time.
So and clubs will know that. So even a 5 million player will suddenly be 15, 16 million to them because there's 2 days left of the window. We get promoted. He wants to leave in the summer. We probably got 50 million for him if he keeps going the way he's going. So where's the sense for everybody, for the player, the club? There is absolutely no sense. And I don't blame Brighton for testing the waters, you know, just having a little nudge saying, look, is he, you know, I'm sure his agent's gone, yes, he wants to play in the Premier League, so give him a notice, see what they say. But I think he wants to do that with Leicester. At least that's the impression he's given since the relegation, that this is what he wants to do. If he goes in the summer, he goes with a blessing because he's been brilliant for us this season. And if he does end up helping us get promoted, thank you very much. We'll add the Premier League tax on. You pay us. And Kate's exactly said it spot on. And this has happened with every transfer out of this club we've had that's come with big money. Maguire, Fofana, etc. are big proofs of that. It's not what they value him at. It's what we value him at. How valuable is KDH to our squad? And right now, Chris, he's priceless. And I think I have seen the odd tweets splattered around saying Leicester are interested in selling. And KDH isn't interested in leaving. So I understand why Brighton have maybe posted an inquiry and tried to set a value and say, look, does 30 million tempt you? But I just don't think the club or the player are interested at all. And it would just be madness if he went. It'd just be absolutely madness.
But from an FFP as well, I don't think he'll be up there with the highest earners. I think he'll negotiate in the summer. He's contracted to 2027, I think. I don't think he'll be up there.
Thank you, Kay. I was about to look when he was contracted too. Thank you.
So I don't think he'll be up there in wages yet. I think if we get promoted, I would make him our highest paid player. Because Vardy will be off the books with that wage.
Yeah.
And I'd make him our highest paid player and just give him an option he can't refuse, not a horse's head in the...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Bed. I mean, I'm sorry.
what you get up to at late at
night? Godfather style. So I just from his boyhood club, he absolutely loves playing for us. I think he loves Maresca. He's brought the best out of him. So unless we are pushed to sell, I can't see it happening.
I know what you're saying, and yes, he's a Leicester lad, blah, 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 blah. But we know, and it comes down to pounds, shilling and pence, does that really make any difference? No. You know, he knows that, you know, is he going to turn down if Manchester City come in? I mean, look at Calvin Phillips, right? You know,
yeah, but it's not Manchester City, is it? It's Brighton.
No, I'm just saying, though. I'm just saying as an example.
That's a different argument.
All right, then. And I have just replied to your tweet.
She's putting us in that place, Chris. What's got it? You're the host, Chris. Go, put your foot down.
If Liverpool come in and want him, who wouldn't?
You know, I mean, Heskey was a Leicester lad through and through.
Yeah, absolutely. Who wouldn't? Like, Harvey went last year to Newcastle. I've got no qualm with that. Like, Newcastle look like they're going places and really about to hit the big time. And that's amazing. You don't know when these opportunities will next come up. But for us, wait 6 months and we might well be competing with Brighton peer for peer next year.
Hmm.
That's what I think about.
I don't think he will. As I say, Rob Dorsett, who is pretty much... gets a lot of things right for Sky. He's not sort of a rumour merchant, you know. He is the Midlands correspondent for Sky. Has said that he isn't going. You know, we've no interest in selling him. Like you say, it's probably agent talk out there trying to get him a better deal and what have you. But look, we've got a few days to sort of. Oh, apparently, well, Arsenal want everybody. Anthony, who the fuck don't Arsenal want? If it's wearing the blue. Badge on him, Arsenal want them. And how many players have Arsenal bought from Leicester? The last one was bloody Alan Smith, which was like in the 80s. So let's put to bed this Arsenal want somebody. Arsenal want everybody. Who do Arsenal buy? Nothing. Are Arsenal a good thing? No, because they're like a man. Arsenal are very much like a man who suffers from premature ejaculation. They always get to the top about in the first couple of months of the season, and then sort of end up deflated in about third, fourth, or fifth. Am I right, Brad?
You are right, and it made me chuckle because I was like, I want to push the button to bring it to his attention. I'm sure he's going to see it. All I'm going to say is, Chris, when you next ask a question, just quickly go on your Photoshop, put Dewsbury Hall in an Arsenal shirt, post it on Twitter, and then just tag Anthony. Go there, Anthony saved Arsenal the trouble. Have a false transfer rumor because they might as well. I can't wait for tomorrow to see him there holding an Arsenal shirt in the green screen.
Andrew, look, mate, you know I love you, I really do. But if only I had uploaded my Arsenal son-in-law's picture of him stood under the Tottenham Court Road underground sign, I would have loved to have put that one up just then because that's about as near as he's going to get to playing for a London team. Look, another one that we that has been linked very, and this is gossip. Callum O'Hare. We know what he's like. We know what he can do. He did it to us a couple of weeks ago. This isn't going to happen, and surely we can't afford him, Kate. They're not going to sell him to the local rivals, are they?
No, I can't see it happening from their point of view, and I can't really see it happening from our point of view. It doesn't seem to have gathered loads of momentum, does it? It's still going around there a little bit in terms of rumours. But, yeah, he did a decent performance against us, good young player. But I think it's just one of the rumour mills. Unless we've got our eye on him for the summer, potentially, I don't know. I don't know if it's just, again, to plant the seed that we're interested.
And just looking here, just to go back to Kieran before we move on. Brighton boss Roberto De Zerbi acknowledged Kieran Dewsbury Hall's great quality, but refused to divulge any information on a potential deal. He said, "I don't know anything about him, as in the proposed deal. I know he is a player." No shit, Sherlock. He has great. No wonder he's the manager. Bloody hell! He has great quality, but it's not my business speaking about other clubs' players. So fair play to him. Fair play to him. Look, we're going to move on now from, because we have got the transfer window on Friday. We'll probably be doing something for then. But as we say, check it out tomorrow. bbc.com/. Come on, Kate. Don't let me down here. She leaves me standing all the time here, Kate. /LCFC. You'll get my take on Senzi and Dewsbury Hall in that. But let me just say, coming up, there are two shows tonight. And I do apologise that I have messed about Kate and Brad quite a bit today, just confusing them. You don't have to agree with me, sorry. I am so unorganised today. I was like, I go to London for the weekend, and it's like I've never been away. You know, or I have been away, but I'm never here. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment, guys.
This is the awkward silence hour by Kate and Brad and Chris. This is
what we're... Brad, I can't shut you up. Talk.
Hello.
Who might we lose in the transfer window, Brad?
Nobody that we've already lost, to be honest with you. I don't think there's anyone. I think the squad's exactly where it needs to be. Once Sensei comes in, I just don't see anybody else really going out. Because we're going to need them. We're going to need them in this push. We know what happens. The injuries curse. Harold Shipman comes back and haunts us in the injury department. And you're going to need them for the spin. So, you know, it's just a case of having one eye on next season. And that would be, I mean, Scott just put there, would it be worth approaching Callum and O'Hara for next season? Well, if, like you said, got earlier, that he's out of contract at the end of the season, maybe that's something we do in the summer. I think we're not going to look too much at upsetting the apple cart, because you've mentioned this a few times, Chris. Was it Espria that Newcastle signed? Yeah. That you said, and we all know what happened. The famous Kevin Keegan rant. He'd love it, and they absolutely bottled it. I don't think you want to upset the apple cart. I mean, Sensei was a player that I knew of, but didn't really think, you know, I saw his record, saw who he was when I first rumoured. I thought, well, this is just some bull turd rumour. It's never going to happen. Look at the quality this guy has. He's 28, prime of his career, lots of success. There's no way he's going to want to join a championship club. And it's gone full steam ahead. And the one thing I do get with Enzo at the helm right now, which is very encouraging, is, yes, as every transfer rumour happens, Chris, we get linked with 30 players going in and 30 players going out. But solid rumours seem to really only pick up traction where very, very limited. You know, we had it a few times, haven't we, where we've been linked with six players for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we sign one of them. But it only seems that when we pick up traction with lots of reports of a player being signed in, that we actually sign them. And that makes me feel that whoever's getting that information out of certain people at the club are basically saying, yeah, Enzo has this guy on his radar. Enzo really is interested in this player. And maybe one or two in that area, and he picks one or the other. But Yeah.
I just went for the next few minutes, not for the whole show.
Yeah, so anyway, guys, join us. Sorry, Chris.
There you go.
Coming up next on Leicester Till I Die TV.
Yeah, just to explain why we were things were being messed around as to what time the show was going out tonight. Originally, we were going to be doing a match preview for the Swansea game, which is tomorrow night. This guy was coming on. You may remember him, Chickenhead, if you ever remember the call centre. Some will, some won't. So what? Move on. That was our Nev, RIP Nev, who is no longer with us. So Chickenhead from the TV series, The Call Centre. It's now at 9 o'clock this evening, so do join us then. He's a huge Swansea fan. He'll be talking Call Centre, and he will be talking, obviously, Leicester City versus Swansea as well. Lovely guy, lovely, lovely guy. Right, guys, I was getting ready to go out and watch Mamma Mia. While you lot were sort of either sat in front of your TV or traveling to Birmingham, as it was, whichever way it worked out. Kate, you were there, but 3-0, and come bring on Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean, Birmingham will be thinking, how the hell have we lost that 3-0? Because the first half was honestly very, very loose from our point of view. But the second half, Enzo made 3 changes first up and they worked really well. 2 changes, sorry. He brought Ricky Pion and Justin. And it just gave that extra bit of quality and security in those key areas. I think McAteer came on as well. It was certainly a game of two halves, not to be cliche, but it was unbelievable. It was night and day. First half, I don't know how we weren't 4-0 down. Honestly, 4 amazing chances from Birmingham. Stolarczyk looked incredible. Man of the match by a country mile. He was absolutely brilliant. Didn't put a foot wrong. His positioning was great. He was so confident. His distribution was great. His saves were unbelievable. So most of those saves he did were so low and so fast. He was super duper. Albrighton was a close second to man of the match for me. He was absolutely brilliant, as consistent and as steady Eddie as we'd ever need him to be. He was just awesome and obviously provided the assist for the first goal, like turning back the clock there, really. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyable second half. And he's got his name then. I always go to call him Under because he reminds me of Under. But Eunice, what a bullet of a goal. I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah. Really pleased for him to get his scoring tally on. Brilliant, really good second half. The crowd were behind us. Birmingham bought 5,000 fans. It's the most packed out away end I've seen in such a long time. The fans were actually almost up to me, which has just not been the case for years. So, yeah, it was a good job done. Tough game at Bournemouth, but bring it on.
Brad, I mean, I was out. And I let me just put it this way. I felt a little tad naughty. Maybe it was the fact that I had a little bit of the falling down water whilst I was out at the cinema. Theatre. God, get me, at the theatre.
The theatre.
With one's bow tie on and everything. I got in and I was sat there checking the phone for the results afterwards. And I was seeing all these comments like, 10 changes, Enzo's got to get it all wrong, and what else he doing? And look, normally I would delete those, but because we've gone on to win 3-0, not knowing anything about the game, the little devil in me that's on your shoulder said, go on, publish them. So I did, just to create a bit of fun. And then I watched the highlights. Yeah, as Kate said, what the hell went on in that first half? It was a game of two halves.
Yeah, it was. And look, to be fair to Enzo, we have got some great young, hungry talent that he wants to see play. I mean, one of the midfielders that came on later, I'm not going to pronounce his name, I know it begins with an R, but we sniped him from Villa.
Ricky.
Yeah, I'll just call him Ricky. Not Ricky P, but we'll call him I'll call him Rrr for sure. Apparently he was brought because Enzo promised him that he'd, you know, from what he's seen of him, he'll get a chance to shine. and play first team football. I mean, you know, Brandon Cover.
Have you been drinking tonight?
No, I've not. But I'll tell you this. I was talking to Luke through the game because we were all having a chat. He did a preview for it, and they were calling him Brendan Cover, and I was like, "No, it's Cover. His name's Cover. Don't try and pronounce it Jamaican. Doesn't mean he's not called Cover." And it turns out I was right; they were wrong. But yeah, I mean, we have to see these players, and we've talked about being in the Championship and cup matches. These are the best chances these sort of individuals are going to get to kind of show not just Enzo, but the fans what we potentially have for our future. And it was a bit disorganised because there was more changes than we're used to seeing, wasn't it, Chris? You know, normally when we make 8 changes, we look at the squad and go, yeah, but we've seen them play. They've played 5 or 6 games, so we know what they're capable of. It's not a bad thing. Whereas the changes he made for the first half of that game, you know, I'd like to say a better team would have finished it, but I agree with Kate. Man of the match, hands down, Stolarczyk, saved absolutely everything that was going his way. So, you know, I can't really fault Birmingham. It's not like they were having shots and all going wide. They had 3 or 4 good chances, but then stability.
I have to actually just ask you to try and sort your sound out. Terrible buzz of the double echo, and you're going loud and low, loud and low. So if you can go off and try and just think with your sound, I don't know what's wrong with it tonight. But while you're doing that, I'll come back to you, Kate. Stolarczyk was Alan's man of the match. Bless him. I'd forgotten to tell him that I was away, so he didn't need to. But he did anyway. Stolarczyk was his man of the match. But Stolarczyk just came out afterwards and went, well, it's my job.
Yeah, but it was a big ask, wasn't it?
Because it's I get it.
It's lovely to hear, actually. It's lovely to hear because it is his job. But I just think a couple of those could have easily gone in and it wouldn't have been his fault. That's when you know a save's amazing, because if you don't make it, it's like, well, it's just one of them. But he got to them, and some of them were really close range. The drawback for me in that first half was none of the young players. I thought Cover looked excellent. Ben Nelson did not put a foot wrong all game. I think he won every aerial duel that I read in the stats afterwards. He was absolutely superb. The biggest problem for me, I don't know whether there was something still going on with him after the drink driving, was Hamza. He was absolutely terrible.
He did get a bit of criticism, and I couldn't comment.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah.
And he gave the ball away all the time in really dangerous areas, which forced some of these saves from Stolarczyk, actually. He just was off the pace completely. He wouldn't track back. He kept getting pulled out of position onto the wing when he should have been in the middle, leaving a huge gap. It was like he was the 20-year-old on Saturday, whereas Nelson Cover was unfortunate to go off because he just had to make room for some of the big troops coming on to secure things a little bit. But yeah, Ben Nelson looks a great player for us. So calm. And he didn't put a foot wrong. And that's, you know, but you've got to think about the squad that even if it's changes or no changes, when you look at the squad, I'm just looking at it here, you've got Stolarczyk, Nelson, Cody, Doyle, Cover, Pratt, Albright, and Vardy, and Marchell. That's 9 players who've basically had 0 football. So they were just thrown together, really. And it did feel like that for the first 20 minutes in particular, that it was just a mishmash, see what you can do. And it didn't work out. But fair play to Enzo. He changed it at half-time, which we're not used to seeing. He needed to change it, and he did. And the subs were a bit questionable. I was surprised to see Hamza left on.
Oh, that was going to be my next question.
But they worked. They gave him that security because I didn't know who else was going to do that Winks role. Pratt was brilliant. He was just, again, really reliable, really good on the ball, obviously got his goal. He's a quality player. It's just a pity with everything that's gone on with him. And he's a utility player for us. And we've never really seen him shine. But there's definitely quality in there. But, yeah, we did the job. I'm glad to see youngsters getting tried out. When are you going to know? How are you going to find out if they're made of it or not?
And let's face it, you tried the youngsters. Saw it wasn't really working, in fairness, and he changed it, you know, got the subs right for once, if you like. Brad, I think Brad's back with us. Are you surprised that Chowdhury lasted the whole game?
A little bit, because I don't know about others, but for that first half, it looked like...
That's worse, Brad. Sorry, mate, that's worse. I do. We'll let you go, like you say, and we'll finish the show.
Yeah, sorry about this.
No, not your fault, mate. Not your fault. Hopefully see you tomorrow for the watch along.
Yeah, pretty hopefully.
My
charging cable's going to turn up tomorrow, so I should have the laptop actually available. So hopefully we'll have my beautiful face back.
I didn't understand any of that, but fair play, mate. I'll speak to you soon. Oh, bless him.
Oh.
Bless him. Right, let's just, here we go. Let's try and get this looking right for two of us. Do you think he was trying to get, I mean, I always think when something like that has happened to a player, and let's face it, they're human, you know, he won't, you know, how many of it? Well, I haven't been done for drink driving. Was it drink driving or speeding? I don't want to get it
wrong. Drink driving, yeah. Drink well, driving. Actually, he got done for refusing to do the breathalyzer.
Ah, okay. I mean, look, you know, we've all done things.
Well, that's all, yeah, I don't, it's nothing. He's human, isn't he? He's young, he's been out, he's made a mistake.
He is, and I always think when that happens, that it's, you need an away game, don't you? To get yourself back in the mindset before you're playing in front of your own. But like I say, we are looking at the match, 3-0. Or Brighton Vardy, like you say, winding the clock back, weren't we?
Yeah, brilliant. They linked up so well. There's just a bit of telepathy between them. I think they're really good mates off the pitch as well, and you can tell that. Like, Albrighton just looks so... like he was enjoying his football as much as he ever was. Like, I think he just wants minutes, doesn't he? He just wants minutes. And I think Arlo White said on Twitter this week that when you see Albrighton and what he's capable of in those areas, he doesn't really make mistakes. And some of the recent league games where we struggled to close out, like, he's just the man for that.
Mm.
And I don't get why we've not utilised him more in those last 20 minutes when people have been, you know, dying on their arse a bit and running out of legs. And he's just perfect to come on because he knows the game so well. He's so experienced.
Yes, he is. I'm trying to think, and forgive me, because like I say, I wasn't at the game at all. Who got the second goal? That was Eunice, wasn't it?
That was Eunice, yeah, absolute rocket.
It was. Bit lucky, do you think? It fell to him, but then again...
It fell to him. The strike wasn't lucky, but yeah, it fell to him. It bobbled about a bit. I think Cannon even got an assist, though I'm not really sure how, because it just kind of bobbled about. But yeah, I think that was made from Albrighton as well. Albrighton cut inside. Yeah, and, you know, fair play to Cannon, which I think is where a young man can do that, where Vardy used to. He can just run around. He can take defenders with him. His goal for Pratt, like his assist for Pratt, where... he ran, you know, almost took it round the keeper, and Ruddy's, you know, sprinting back into his goal. He's made that run. It's what we need from a striker to stretch those defensive lines a bit, really. And we used to rely on Vards. We can't anymore. It's a new era, and he's really settling into that role. It's exciting.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you score. It's being in that position to score.
Yeah, and it's just taking the defenders with you. He did take defenders with him to create that opportunity for Pratt. And if Pratt hadn't scored, somebody else would have done. It was bobbling around for anyone to have, really. So it's just the ability to pull the defensive out of position. And that is pure Enzo philosophy, isn't it? I think he said it's not about moving the ball, it's about moving the opposition.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants people to do.
Look, I mean, Dennis Pratt, like you say, we all love him, but he's just a sick note. Was he on from the start, or did he came on, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he came on.
He started. Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, he started. Play the whole 90 minutes. Go 90 minutes without being injured. Bloody hell.
Well, steady on. We don't know yet.
Well, that's true.
He's still in the bath.
I was just about to ring up Guinness Book of Records then. That was the longest.
You're not going to get a terrible player out of him. When he comes on or starts, you know he's not going to be terrible.
Yeah.
You know, he really settles into the game quickly. He reads the game so well. It's just a bit of a shame how it's all worked out, but that's just how it goes, I guess, in sport.
It is. Well, I mean, his contract runs out at the end of the season. What do you do with Pratt? What do you do with a player like Pratt to go into my musical music mode?
I think he's too expensive to keep. I think we could get somebody else like that in to fill in for a fraction of the cost. And that's all about managing the club, isn't it? It's a shame he's a Belgian international. But yeah, I think he'll move on. I think he'll want to move on. I don't think he's probably enjoyed his time here that much. It's not been the victorious stint that he'd hoped it would be. You know, when he joined to join forces with Yuri, we thought, with Tim Castagna as well, we thought, what a couple of players we've got here, all Belgian internationals, and rightly so. And it just didn't work out for him.
Yeah. Terry, it took me ages to work out that as well. I think it's a mirror.
It's a mirror.
I did think you were sitting in the warehouse, actually, with a big divide with the mirrors in between. Classic.
I hadn't realised that. That's good.
There's always somebody will pick up on these things. You know what I mean? I can't say it either. Reiki only had nine minutes. Did he do much in those nights? And I don't mean that.
Not massively. No disrespect here. He didn't come on for very long. He's definitely got height. He's a tall player. Moves about really well. Got stuck in. I think he was prepared to try and put himself in the limelight a bit. It's his big moment. Just nice to see. None of the young players did anything wrong. In the first half, it was all about not being able to gel. Clearly strangers with each other a bit. And Hamza in that Harry Winks role, it just shows you the opposite and how amazing Harry Winks is and what happens when it goes wrong. But I suppose he might not have played Hamza with what happened, because it's a bit of a personal issue, isn't it, that can plague your mind. But I bet he just thought, I'm giving Winks the game off no matter what, because he needs a break. We've got some big fixtures coming up, a bit chocker over the next few weeks with midweek games as well. So he was playing no matter what, I think. That's what happened.
Indeed. Brandon Cover nationally plays for Jamaica, apparently. I hadn't heard of him, I'm not gonna lie.
I hadn't till the morning, but Enzo was quite upfront in the morning or the night before his press conference. He said he'll be playing, he'll be featuring, and I thought, is that a typo? Like, put the word cover. And then I had a bit of luck and I was like, oh, no, he's a young lad. And, yeah, he really impressed me. He's very natural on the ball. He does the Ian Marshall socks down, no shinnies. So he's a brave lad. He looked really good. He's pretty tall as well. Wanted the ball, natural on the ball. Definitely an Enzo-style player in there. It was interesting that Will Alves didn't feature. I really expected him to be in the squad and he wasn't.
Nelson had a good game, which, you know, you mentioned that before, but wanted to, I mean, you know, the future's bright, the future's blue, like I said earlier. There's a lot of youngsters here, which, again, you know, when we're going and going, oh, why aren't we playing players? Why aren't we buying players? If we've got good players that we can bring through, save the club 30-odd million pounds in the transfer market, which is good. You know, that's the way I look at it. Connor Cody got one of his rare starts. I saw him on the highlights and he could have got an assist for Birmingham.
Comfortably so, yeah. The risk of having a player like that who's a defender, so he's not going to be like a natural ball player, so to speak, really. And it's just a risk you take when you leave them rusty and don't play them. We said this at the start of the season with him, that I thought in pre-season he looked great, but you soon lose your sharpness because it's that much of an elite athlete's game, isn't it? Championship and Prem. You any kind of drop-off, a 2% drop-off, and you look pedestrian. Do you know what I mean? I just wonder if that's the case a bit, and maybe he's lost his mojo a bit because he knows he's not getting a chance properly in the first team. I don't know, but you would have thought Nelson was the more experienced player on Saturday.
One round off the quarterfinals, and it is Bournemouth away, that's home for me. Are you going to try and get a ticket? I don't know. To be honest with you, no disrespect to the Bournemouth guys, it's a chicken shed. I'm talking to Chicken Head later. Bournemouth is a chicken.
The only time I've been to Bournemouth is when Kante made his debut and Vardy scored the penalty, which was his first goal of his 11 in the 15-16.
I was there. I remember seeing you. I sat behind the goal in the Bournemouth end as the camera posed past. Yeah, and I'm sat like that when Vardy just scored. Because the fans that happened to be around me were like bloody bouncers.
Celebrate.
And of course,
I won't be going. It's too much of a stretch. I mean, of the teams that are left, I think that's the only one I wasn't prepared to travel for. It's just so long on a Wednesday night as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping a lot more people say that, so I might get a chance of getting a couple of tickets. But
I'm glad because we wanted a Premier League club, I think. It's a good test for us. And they're not totally different from us, are they?
Have you been reading my notes?
No. We need to stop agreeing. We've talked about this. We need to create more friction.
I'm sorry. can I warm up first? If you don't mind. Well, that's put me off. who was that? Oh, yes.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Oh, that's not how I can easily put them off, I tell you. No, I mean, look, if we'd have got Liverpool or a team like that, Man City, it's not a test for us because we know, you know, the chances are that even if we were a Premier League team, so they would be beating us. Where Bournemouth, like you say, they're the sort of team, if we go up, that we would look at Bournemouth and go, we should really be winning this game, or we've got a chance of winning this game. So like you say, I think it is a really good test. So that in mind, do you still start the youngsters, or do you go with a pretty much a first squad? It's going to be a midweek game, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I think league results depending, I would say. But if the league results are going okay and injuries are all right, I would put a decent team out because it's a really good chance to get to quarterfinals. And when you look at the fixtures, there's a lot of Premier League clashes again. So half the Premier League teams left are going to be going out because of the way the draws. And I don't want to tempt fate at all, but there's a chance we could get quite far in this competition because you've got Bournemouth, Leicester, you've got Wolves, Brighton, you've got Luton, Man City. Like, Premier League teams are going to be dropping out.
Mm.
And it's a chance to you know, progress. If we get Chelsea in the quarterfinals again, I will literally cry. We seem to get them a lot in the quarterfinals.
We do, don't we?
But it could be a nice little route to a semi, potentially. Do you know what I mean?
You knew. I'll leave that.
I couldn't stop myself. Well, that's always been my problem, yeah.
Yes.
it could be a nice route to get to the semi-final. You never know.
I was just thinking I hadn't had much to clip from this show. Suddenly, like buses, you waiting for one to come along at once. Like you say, I mean, Newcastle are travelling. You would think Blackburn will beat Wrexham, you would think.
It's 1-1 at the minute.
Who is it? Right, are they playing tonight? So they've got Newcastle. Chelsea or Villa, so one of those is going to go out. Liverpool, Man City or Nottingham Forest, Bristol City. Wolves versus Brighton. Well, Wolves, you know, had a bit of fun at the weekend, didn't they? I did want, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have minded Maidstone United at home, but then again, I kept thinking about Wycombe Wanderers.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, no, I don't, actually. No, I don't. I mean, I did say a couple of weeks ago, and we'll end on this point, but I did say a couple of weeks ago that obviously promotion is the aim, blah, blah, blah. But now we're talking about rounds that have got the word final in them. So quarterfinal, semi-final, final. You suddenly start to thinking, all right, yeah, let's give it a go.
Absolutely. You get to a certain point and you think you've got to take it seriously. There's going to be serious opposition against us next. And you just never say never in the cup because you don't know what they're going to do. I can't imagine, unless it's a final or a semi-final, I don't think Man City will field their strongest team. It's up for grabs. That's how the FA Cup is. Yeah. Premier League teams gamble with their squads. And, you know, look at Maidstone on Saturday. It was absolutely brilliant. Save for the guy falling off the roof. But but it's what the cup's all about. And I think when we get, like you say, when you get to the final stages, it's something you've got to take seriously because there's a chance that you win this next game. There's only eight left in the hat, and that's massive.
Yes, yes. It very much is. I am actually, because obviously I didn't go to Wembley last time we played because it was of COVID. So I wouldn't mind another trip to Wembley.
You can't get too much of it, can you?
No.
And there's semi-finals at Wembley as well.
Probably. I don't agree with that. I think
Me neither.
It takes the shine off the final. And I know financially they've got to pay off Wembley and that's why they do it. And it is a good stadium. But no, you should be just be for finals.
Yeah.
Really should. Look, I know we normally finish with chat shit get banged, but I'm going to pass on it because we've been here now sort of over an hour. So thank you very much for coming on, Kate. Are you going tomorrow?
Yes, I am. Yep.
So I'll send you the link and hopefully if we can get you live from the ground, that would be great. You're probably on your mobile outside the ground. You'll have a better signal than Brad does today.
Hopefully better sound.
Well, hopefully so. Yes, bless him. He's got a new laptop, and apparently can't get that charging. So God knows what's going on.
Oh no!
You know, waiting for a new charger. Then it'll be something.
Pray for Brad.
Yeah, pray. Yes. Let's get you two to do a concert for me. Well, give everybody a shout out as to where they can follow you as a Leicester fan.
I am on Twitter at KateBlakey40, so give me a follow on there.
That's how you can find. And if you don't remember, just think of On the Buses. Sorry, I had to say it. I do.
You've not played it for a while. She's been in the cupboard.
She has. She has. Probably the best place for her, but who knows. Kate, thank you so very much.
No worries.
Have a great evening. Sorry to mess you about with all the times.
No problem.
I will see you tomorrow night and fingers crossed for 3 points. And maybe let's just have a very quick look just to see if suddenly it has happened that we have actually signed somebody. I very much doubt it. Let's have a look. Oops. Helps if I press the right button. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Too many knobs. That's the problem. No, before you say anything, don't. No, it hasn't happened. So we're still waiting. This will be Leicester. We'll do it at like 11 minutes to six on the
first. Cannon was really late, wasn't he? Remember, we did the late night transfer show.
Oh, that was after we'd finished.
Cannon was after we finished, wasn't it? Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Surely not. Surely not again.
Maybe they just want Twitter to be quiet and do the big announcement when everyone's asleep. Maybe Luke will be the first to know in Oz.
That is so true. Brilliant. You have to message him and say, let us know if you hear anything.
Yeah, I will do.
Love it, Kate. Love it. Thank you very much. And I will see you tomorrow.
All right. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Thanks to Kate there for joining us. This has been a bit of a here, there and everywhere sort of show today. I've been away for a weekend, so I couldn't do a lot of preparation. And coming up later, like I say, we have got this gentleman. There we go. Old Chickenhead from the call centre. If you remember the call centre, he is a big Swansea fan and he will be joining us later. So catch us for that at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. I will see you then. Thanks to Kate. Thanks for Brad for coming on. Thank you to everybody that's been in the chat. And if you have been listening to us via your favourite podcast platform, I really, really, really do appreciate it. I'll see you in about 37 minutes. Goodbye now.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.